This morning's reading is taken from Philippians 4, verses 10 to 23. This may be found on page 982 of the Pew Bible. Philippians 4, 10 to 23. Hear the word of God, God's provision. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now that at length you have reviewed your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases in your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in the glory in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Final greetings. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Bless this reading of his holy word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory, our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we've got to the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians. We've been thinking about it under this heading of confident citizens. Wonder if you took up that challenge to read through the letter of Philippians. It's four chapters. And perhaps you've done that once or twice as we've gone through these weeks. It's a wonderful letter of encouragement and strengthening as we seek to follow Jesus, our Lord, and to live for him as citizens, confident of our place in his kingdom. There are some folks who seem to be overbrimming with confidence. Nothing ever seems to shake their confidence in themselves. We remember Muhammad Ali, "I am the greatest." Even before the boxing match started, he was telling you which round he was going to knock down his opponent. And nothing ever seemed to shake his confidence, his belief in himself. Most of us aren't like that. Our experience of confidence kind of goes up and down. Some days we feel a bit confident. Some days we don't feel so confident. Up and down, up and down. But we are to be confident citizens, confident that we are members of the kingdom of God, that the life of the kingdom of God has started now. And we are living it. I think there's two areas of confidence there. Confidence that we are in the kingdom. And that depends upon Jesus. We are in the kingdom, not because of anything we have done, but because of everything Jesus has done. And so our confidence that we belong in the kingdom is entirely secure, because it's tied up in what Jesus has already done. And Paul wrote about that in Philippians, how Jesus took on the form of a servant and humbled himself even to death on a cross. And then God exalted him, raised him up, gave him the name above every other name. Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done for us to become citizens of the kingdom. And we can have confidence that we belong there because of what Jesus has done. But then sometimes we need to have a confidence, once we're in the kingdom, actually to live as though we belong there. To do the things that a citizen of the kingdom should be doing. To live like we fit in. When in Rome, do as the Romans. But it maybe takes us a while, once we visit Rome, to settle down and to begin to do as the Romans do. If you come from Glasgow, it's really hard to leave house in the morning and not take a rain jacket with you. There aren't many people in Rome who every day carry rain jackets. We need to be confident to live as the citizens. We are the citizens. God has made us in Jesus these people. And sometimes we're not as confident as we could be to live like that. To be kind and generous and self-controlled and patient. That's part of the reason why Paul's been writing this letter. Is to encourage us to have confidence in Jesus that he's made us citizens of the kingdom. And to encourage us to have confidence to live like the people God has made us become. God has made us into citizens, so live like citizens. Come to the end of the letter. And in this final passage, Paul takes up what might seem a simple theme. But if this theme can become part of our living, we'll find our confidence grows. We will be more confident in Jesus, more confident in living as citizens of the kingdom, if we can live contented lives. And you might think that doesn't sound very exciting, living a contented life. That doesn't sound like the power that's going to transform the world and my neighborhood and my office and my school. Well, look around you for a minute. How many people do you see living contented lives? And maybe if we had an outbreak of living as people who were contented, that would have a huge impact on our communities. What is contented? Paul writes, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content." To be content. The word that Paul uses there is used only this once in the whole of the New Testament. But it's found frequently in the writings of the Greek philosophers. They were very interested in being content. But they had a strange idea of what being content meant. For the Greeks, it had to do exactly with self-sufficiency. I don't need anything from anyone. I am completely sufficient in myself, and therefore I can be content. But how could anyone ever achieve such a level of self-sufficiency? Okay, said the Greeks, well, if that's not going to quite work for you, what you need to do is to disconnect yourself from the world. They spoke about retiring from the world while you were still alive. They backed this up with some old philosophy which Plato got from Socrates, that nothing that we see or touch actually matters. It doesn't actually mean anything. The reality is invisible and eternal beyond us, and all that we see around us doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter if you're poor or if someone else is poor. It doesn't matter if you're sick or if someone else is sick, because that's just your body. It doesn't matter. So be at peace, be content. Detach yourself from all suffering, from all sorrow. Live in a wee bubble where you can pretend that you're content. If a Greek philosopher had been listening to Marian's prayer, he wouldn't have understood what she was going on about. Why should we care about Guatemala or people who are sick? Because it doesn't matter. Does that sound like any kind of way we want to live? Cool detachment because the world is unimportant. Paul says, no, that's not being contained. But he believes the word is good. It's a good word, and so he wants to take the word and fill it full of a whole new content. Give it a whole new meaning. In fact, he wants to turn it on its head. If you say it's about detachment, Paul wants to say being contented is about involvement. If you say it's about self-reliance, Paul wants to say being content is about depending. Being dependent on others. Paul fills this word with the life of the Messiah, with the life of Jesus as Christ, and says if you're going to be citizens of Jesus' kingdom, you can't be detached from the world. And you definitely can't be self-sufficient. You need to find a new way to be content. In Jesus, God is not detached from the world. In Jesus, God is incarnate. He has taken on flesh. He knew what it was to be hungry and tired and thirsty. He knew what it was to suffer. How then can the way of the citizen of the kingdom of God be detachment from these things? If Jesus specifically incarnated himself to endure these things? As God in Christ embraces suffering and trouble, so Paul in his life embraced his own suffering and the troubles of others. For Paul, contentment in life has got nothing to do with detachment, but has got everything to do with involvement. Self-sufficiency will never lead you to contentment. If you've tried it, I know you'll agree with me. You can never make yourself so independent as to be content. You can't live a contented life by some cool detachment. Yes, there's suffering in the world, but none of it bothers me because none of it really matters. Except it does bother us because it profoundly does matter. There are no singular citizens in the kingdom of God. There are no self-made citizens in the kingdom of God. Only a new community of citizens bound together by the work of the Spirit, focused upon Jesus as King, the renewed humanity in the image of Christ. That's what contented is about for Paul. And he's going to give us some idea of how he thinks we can live such a contented life. What Paul has learned is that being content is about depending upon others. Depending upon others. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Paul did not write to the Philippians of being in need. He didn't send around a letter that says, I need all this, please give me it. He wrote to them of depending upon them, of them depending on him, of learning what it means to live together. Paul wrote about partnership, about fellowship in the work of the gospel, about togetherness in being a citizen of the kingdom. This thing Paul has learned. Paul learned that he could not be a Christian on his own. Have you learned that yet? Have you figured that one out? Yes, Jesus might call us on our own. Yes, Jesus knows our individual name. But as soon as we answer, as soon as we believe in Jesus, as soon as we come to him, he binds us together with others, specifically with one another, sitting here today. Jesus binds us together, a group, a community, a family. You can't be a Christian on your own. You just can't do it. If you're going to be content as a Christian, you need to learn how to depend upon others. There's at least one difference between the sport of rugby and the sport of golf. At least one difference. Rugby is a team game. I know at times you can try to play golf as a team, but mostly you play golf on your own. Rugby, nobody can play on their own. Most games have 15. Sometimes they cut it down to 7. But you're never going to have one-a-side rugby. You just can't do it. The game doesn't make sense if you try to play one-on-one rugby. Where did we get the idea that we could be Christians without depending upon others, upon one another? Where did that idea come from? We need to drive it away. If you want to live a contented Christian life, learn how to depend upon others. If you want to know peace and fruitfulness in discipleship, commit yourself to being dependent upon others. Ask for help. When help is offered, receive it. And I know we find that hard. We would much rather be giving help. But if we're going to be content citizens of the kingdom, we need to receive help. That's the kind of community that God is growing us into. It's the only kind of community where we can be content in our discipleship. It's the only kind of community where the kingdom will grow, where women and men depend upon one another. Because we love one another. Because Jesus has died for all of us, and we just can't do it on our own. Depend upon others. The Christian life is also lived contentedly when we depend upon Jesus. I rejoice in the Lord, Paul writes. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul writes these wonderful things to try to teach us that we need to depend upon Jesus. The grace of God in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit is God's presence in us and at work through us. The presence and power of God to help us and strengthen us to continue as disciples of Jesus. We cannot begin to live as Christians without God being at work in us. And just as we cannot begin, so we cannot continue without the power of God being at work in us. The fuel which drives our engine, which makes our discipleship work, is Jesus. It is God. It is the Spirit. It's all of God at work in us to make us his people and to keep us his people. No wonder there are so many non-content Christians because they're trying to get by without depending upon Jesus. Sometimes the world throws at us as though it were some sort of insult. Oh, your religion's just a crutch for you to lean on. See, the next time someone says that to you, smile at them and say, yes, it is. And at least I'm leaning on it. What are you leaning on? It's always entertaining to see folks who've been told that they need to use a stick or a walking aid, carrying the stick tucked under their arm instead of depending upon it. Too often we get it the wrong way around. We think we need to carry Jesus when all the time he wants to carry us. Many folks here will know how to drive. When you start off learning to drive, you get this provisional license, and part of the deal is you're allowed to drive a car, but only in the presence of another driver. Someone with a full license has to be there sitting beside you, or you're not allowed to drive the car. The point of learning to drive a car is so that one day you can drive the car on your own, and you don't need to have anyone beside you. And much of our human learning, that's the point, is so that we can grow to a place where we can do something on our own. Whether it's driving or counting or reading or whatever it is, the aim is to get to the point where we can do it by ourselves, for ourselves. Contentment in Christian living is entirely the other way around. We start off imagining that we can do these things by ourselves, for ourselves. We need to learn and grow to the point where we are wholly dependent upon Jesus, entirely depending upon his grace, when we know that we can't do it on our own. Christian life has been described as standing not so much on the edge of a cliff, but leaning out over the edge of the cliff. Leaning out so far that the only thing that holds you up is the wind of God's Spirit blowing. And if God doesn't work, you're falling off the edge of the cliff. That's Christian discipleship. Most people want to live, they think they'll be content if they live so far back they don't even know the cliff edge is there. But that's not discipleship. Contented discipleship is leaning out in the edge and letting God hold you up, entirely dependent upon him. Every time we say a prayer, without saying the words, we are confessing to God that we are depending upon you. We can't do this. We need you to do it for us. Every time we open the scriptures and read God's word, we are depending on God, making himself known to us. We don't know how to live. We don't know who you are. We depend on your word to show us who you are. Every hymn we sing, we are acknowledging that God is a God to depend upon, that Jesus and his grace are strong enough for us. Every act of service we engage in, every kind word, every gentle deed, every time we achieve patience, even just for a moment, every time we say a word about Jesus to someone who doesn't know him, every act of service is an act of depending upon God. Because in our own strength, we can't do it. We just can't do it. It seems as though wanting us to be confident citizens, Paul wants to leave this letter in a place where he says to us, you can't do it. You have to be confident citizens, but you can't do it. You need to be content, he says. Content to depend upon one another. Content to depend upon Jesus. If you depend upon Jesus and depend upon one another, your life will be filled with contentment, and you will then become these citizens of the kingdom that you long to be. But you just can't do it on your own. Do you want to live a contented life? The way to do it is to depend upon one another and to depend upon Jesus, to be citizens, confident citizens of God's kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that your purpose for us is that we be citizens in your kingdom, that we live as your people today and every day, that in our living we make Jesus known in all the world around us. We pray for this contentment to take root in our lives, to drive us into dependence upon one another and upon Jesus, that we might lean there and know your grace holding us up. So, Father, be at work among us. Hear our prayer, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.